a net zero carbon emission target by 2050. There's been a lot of talk about this. It's just in the news at 5 o'clock. Quite a focus, I have noticed, or I believe, on discussions in the federal coalition between the Liberals and the Nationals. And it's all got me thinking about you, about me, about farmers, and how we will be affected by these policy changes, the economic impacts. And I think we need to hear from people with skin in the game, groups who represent primary producers. So I've lined up a few for today, but your input is also important here. So give us a call, 1300 160 222 or text 0467 922 783. I also want to make the point that I reached out to the Seafood Industry Alliance and they said it was a nice offer to speak on the program about climate policy, but they're still working through the impacts. So they want to be able to offer a concrete position or perspective, and that is still to come. Who I do have for you is Joe Keynes, who is the president of Livestock SA. Hello, Joe.
Good afternoon, Neryl.
And also, I have John Hunt, who is the president of SADA. That's the South Australian Dairy Farmers Association. Welcome to you, John.
Good afternoon.
So, Joe, if we start with you, what are you hearing from people that Livestock SA represents about reducing carbon emissions?
I think there is a groundswell to understand that we're going to reduce carbon emissions over time, and I guess our industry has been challenged to actually have carbon neutral by 2030. We're not waiting for the governments of the day to develop policy. We're actually working very hard towards carbon neutral of 2030.
And you, John, also, you having a range of different opinions, are there concerns among dairy farmers?
Oh, look, there's certainly concerns, but the biggest thing we have to do is understand what the emissions will do to our business. And I think the good thing with us is that, you know, increased management skills can actually help reduce your carbon footprint. And also, you know, understanding just what our total emissions are. So, say with dairy in South Australia, we contribute about 0.097% to Australia's total emissions. So when people say we've got to cut back by 30%, it sounds a big total, but it's actually not that big.
Yeah.
You know, so with good farm practices, we can do it. And a lot of the time, it's not what the farmers think, it's what our customers think, our consumers think. That's what we've got to really be aware of.
That is so true, isn't it, John? And I think there is, you know, this could be quite an opportunity. That's one way of looking at it. And I know it's not going to be easy in some instances, but there could be some opportunities here, which we'll get to. John Hunt, your members work with cows, and there ends my knowledge of the dairy industry. No, so we've spent some time on this program talking about the potential of red seaweed as a feed additive to stop methane production. How is that viewed by the industry? Is it sort of seen as some kind of silver bullet or magic pudding?
Oh, look, it can add to the vast range of things that you can do. I think farmers are probably keener on now with breeding. They're actually breeding bulls to give lower emissions. You know, they can measure their footprint. So with the breeding, with the different feeding, with actually making sure you utilise your fertilisers and you're irrigating properly, and like I say, a lot of farm management tools can actually make a big impact. And I think what's great now is they've got carbon calculators that you can put all of your numbers into, and it can work out exactly what your footprint is.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, what's a low emission bull? Does it burp less?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Look, I can't go into all of the things, but it's just a trait that they're working on. So, you know, you've got traits around quiet temperament, somatic cell counts and all that sort of thing, and now there's traits on emissions. So if you start using those bulls over your herd, it naturally reduces some of the emissions.
How about that?
We certainly are using it.
Well, my husband would never survive that cup. John Hunt, hang in there. I will return to you. Sorry, Daniel. You always hurt the one you love. Joe Keynes, change requires investment often, doesn't it? Does Livestock SA have a plan or a wish list for making any changes that might be needed?
Oh, certainly our research and development corporations are investing lots of our levy dollars in conjunction with government dollars as well to actually look at all of the different methodologies that we can actually reduce our carbon footprint. And you know, as John's highlighted, there's areas that we're looking at, including novel animal supplements, which include seaweed, and that's, you know, very much in a work in progress. So we need to understand where that'll end up, and certainly in our industry, we think it's going to have some opportunities in the beef feedlotting industry. Now we're looking at soil organic matter. Very, very much it has sort of two benefits to our lowering our emissions, because it retains moisture retention. It actually gives us better productivity benefits. So a lot of the methodologies around reducing our carbon footprint actually have made really good business sense. They are very they ensure that we improve our productivity. So it's a really good news story. Reduce our emissions, but also increasing our productivity. So that's really really good news story.
What do you call that? Soil what?
Sorry?
What did
soil
you call
carbon?
Soil carbon. Okay, yes. So
if we increase
I was reading about this
matter,
today.
That's soil carbon. Yeah,
and I was reading about this today in the paper about a cattle farm, I don't know where it was, but selling carbon credits to Microsoft because they're able to store carbon in the soil and therefore, be able to not move almost beyond net zero. Well, they are, because they're selling carbon credits. So is this an
Absolutely.
Opportunity for people in agriculture to sell carbon credits, another income stream possibly to be tapping into?
That's certainly one of the emerging opportunities that are coming. And, you know, it'll be whether we can capture soil carbon and how we can measure it and then be able to sell the credits for that. But also, you know, it's the traditional tree planting and locking up, revegetation areas and those sorts of things that also allows us to enter the carbon, what we call the carbon farming market.
Mm. Joe, is the industry, the livestock industry, asking for any government investment in certain areas?
Oh, certainly. We need to have good government policy, good government investment, along with our own levy investment. So, you know, Meat and Livestock Australia and Australian Wool Innovation have all got programs focused on getting us into a carbon neutral situation. So we need to have the assistance of government to ensure that we've got the best science to allow us to actually meet the target that we've set, you know, carbon neutral in 2030. It's an ambitious target, but, you know, with a lot of investment and good science, we can actually make this be a win for the environment, but also a win for our bank balances.
Yeah, and that's the outcome we need, isn't it? A win all around. Joe, I'll just quickly check with you. In case there is going to be government incentives down the track, does that make farmers, livestock producers want to wait, you know, rather than invest in something, to sort of maybe wait until the policy comes around and there may be some financial assistance to make the changes they need to make? Or are you finding that livestock producers in South Australia are just getting on with it?
You're dead right.
They're livestock just getting on with it.
They're getting on it. We, as John's highlighted, you know, animal genetics, we can use the better genetics to make sure we grow our animals faster and reduce the methane emissions from animals. Yeah, you know, we're getting on with better environmental management, better land management. You know, the thrust is on. You know, we're already moving down that track. If government comes along for the ride, that's great. Their investment and their policy settings will assist us reach that target with even quicker, mate, possibly.
Okay, we'll return to John Hunt, the president of the South Australian Dairy Association. Just wondering from you, John, what sort of flow-ons does the dairy industry expect for consumers?
I think a lot more consumers now are concerned about traceability, and a part of traceability is what we're doing around carbon. It's just a topical subject And like I say, they're just going to expect it. That you know, we've got the opportunity to always be ahead of the pack. So you know, if we can tackle this now, and like I say, I just want to reiterate, most of the stuff that we're tackling is it improves your farm profitability. So it's a win-win. And I think farmers now have gone past the, whether they believe in climate change or not, the fact is if your consumer does, that's what we've got to target. And it's quite neat, the research now, to say that, look, if you improve your farm management, you're naturally going to get less of a carbon footprint. So it's a win-win.
Joe, do you have anything to add to that about the flow-on to consumers?
Oh, no, I absolutely agree. Yeah. John's on the money. We've got to, you know, it's good business for us to do it, but we also understand our consumers are demanding that of us. They want us to have really great product, and we do exceptional exceptional product in Australia, and which we export to the world. But our consumers also want to understand our environmental management, our animal welfare credentials, all of the stuff that sits behind being an effective and efficient farmer.
So, John Hunt, if I return to you, what would SADA be saying to the Liberal Party and the National Party, who seem to be, you know, mid negotiations almost about whether or not we need a net zero emissions by 2050 target? It seems like a lot of farmers are already working towards it. They believe it's a foregone conclusion. And I know that the argument that we're really having here, you know, we're talking to livestock people, producers, and really it's about perhaps those seats where coal is coming into it. I'm certainly not that naive, but would your group be saying, guys, you got to get on with it?
No. Mm-hmm. Only because that's not really, you know, we don't know enough about that side of things. So the Liberal Party there, they have to do their due diligence. If it's going to cost the country hundreds of millions of dollars and hundreds of jobs, and, you know, you've got to look at the impact statement of what it's actually going to do. And I haven't got the knowledge, and I know our SADA group hasn't got the knowledge of what that could create for that sector. I think if we concentrate on what we're doing and we just get on with it, as Joe said, you know, it's good management anyway, and we're going to be ahead of the ball. We should just concentrate on what we're doing. You know, I don't bag any politician for you know, doing the work that they were set in there to do. I think I'd be a bit more disappointed if they just said, yep, let's do it. You know, they have to make sure that they're doing their research to make sure it is best for the country.
Good on you, John. Thank you. Good to talk to you. President of the South Australian Dairy Association, Joe Keynes, President of Livestock SA. Would you have a message for the Federal, Liberal or National parties?
Oh, I think it's similar to what John's saying. You know, let them go through their business, develop their policies, decide where they're going to invest. But we're definitely getting on with the job. The challenge is for us to try and be, to work towards a carbon neutral 2030 target, and that's what we're doing as an industry. It makes good business sense, but it also makes good environmental sense.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Keynes is the President of Livestock SA.